It's Palmer.
Well, I'm here with some real patriots this morning from American Security Council Foundation. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Brett.
We have Joy Avatrebek. What is your title over there?
The Director of Operations.
Director of Operations. And Lawrence Sanford. Lawrence, what do you do over there?
I'm the Senior Analyst.
Senior Analyst?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll find out more about this. You have an MBA from Babson College, Lawrence, and served as an officer in the U.S. Navy Pacific Fleet. Thank you for serving, by the way. 4 years of service in the CIA's clandestine service. Oh, jeez. Uh-oh.
Now that you know that.
Uh-oh. Now we're in trouble. We got a lot to talk about. And Joy is a graduate of the University of Central Florida with a BA in International Relations and a certificate in Intelligence and National Security.
Yes, sir.
That's funny. Intelligence, security. You wonder about that these days. Anyway, she has worked in security services for over 7 years. She's currently the Director of Operations for the American Security Council Foundation and the American History Live Program for children K through 12. Very excited about what is, for people who have never heard about, what is the American Security Council Foundation?
American Security Council Foundation actually was started in 1958 to combat communism here in the United States.
Really?
So we've been around for quite a while. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Well, they did some really good work over the years. In fact, I think the most impressive was during the Cold War era, they had a coalition of peace through strength.
Yeah.
And that coalition was quite impressive. We had over 200 members of Congress, bipartisan support across the board on this issue, which you not really see today.
No.
And if you do, and I'm happy you'll hear from Lawrence here in just a little bit about the
Larry. We go by,
okay,
I go
sorry.
By Larry.
I'll call him
Among
Larry.
Friends.
Among friends here. But today we do have the Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. So we are seeing some bipartisan support, and that's encouraging. But I'll get back to the American Security Council Foundation. That coalition had not only over 200 members of Congress and bipartisan support, but over 160 different organizations and individuals across the country. One of those was President Ronald Reagan. And he would go on to thank the American Security Council for our work on the Peace Through Strength strategy and use it on his platform as well.
Was it always out of Florida or?
No. It started in Chicago.
How did it end up in little old Wabasso,
well,
Sebastian?
Well, John Fisher was the original founder in Chicago. And
is he related to Dr. Fisher?
He is not.
Oh.
That's Fisher with an F-I-S-H-E-R was John Fisher, the founder.
That's ironic, though.
And Dr. Fisher is F-I-S-C-H-E-R, and he is our current president and CEO. So he moved operations here to Sebastian, Florida, but they also have an office in Washington, D.C.
Well, wonderful. So what did they – now, do you run the office in Washington or work with them?
We have the ability to use that office if we need to, but we mainly run operations here out of Sebastian.
Okay. And so what do you actually do – what are you trying to accomplish? Now, you know, I know there's a special event. We want to promote that in a little bit. But
well, after the coalition, I would say broke apart because the Cold War ended.
Yeah.
We went on to support energy independence. That was another campaign that was very successful. And after that, when Dr. Fisher and the board decided that there was a real need for our youth to be educated on history and civics. So
yeah.
They came up with this really unique program called American History Live. And, well, it is now called American History Live, but we started with Ben Franklin, and we have added characters ever since. So early American characters are able to zoom into the classroom and present American history in a fun, unique way that's entertaining and helps kids retain history.
Why do they always want to erase history? In other words, I ran into a young man, 24 recently. I think he was working at where do you buy better men's clothes? It was down in Palm Beach. They make the sweaters that are the soft sweaters. Anyway,
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, he works there, and he said that we were not being taught history, and it seems like whoever comes along, future dictators or oligarchs, they want to erase history. Why is that?
Well, I think if you don't know the history, first you're apt to repeat things that are probably not good.
Those who don't know history are destined to repeat it, yeah.
Yes, and I'm going to put a plug in for our upcoming event on Tuesday.
Please.
There's a lunch. If you're interested in hearing more about American History Live, we are going to be doing a trivia presentation with Ben Franklin zooming in, so you get to see how the program works. And we're having Jenny Cote, who is a very celebrated author of children's fantasy or fiction books, but their early American history, as well as some of her other ones. There, she has a whole epic order of seven. And she's going to talk to No History, No Future. No history, no future. And yeah. I think that kind of sums up why we need to know history.
Great. Maybe she'll write some more children's books that have to do with history.
Yes. We the Declaration and the Sword is one I'm reading right now. So it's not just for children. Adults would love it, too. So I encourage everyone to come out.
Now, where is this going to be?
This is going to be downtown, the Courthouse Executive Center on 14th Avenue, here in Vero Beach.
Really?
Yes.
Now, this is lunch. This is Tuesday what?
Tuesday on March 19th, starting at 11:30 a.m. It's a free open to the public, so please come join us.
Free luncheon? They say there's no free lunch?
There is going to be a free lunch.
Yeah. I'm on my way.
All right. Sounds good.
But I wanted to go anyway. You just reminded me, because before we came on, I was telling them about the fact that I watched a series. I think it was an HBO series, and it was on the second president, John Adams. And what was nice about it, it was like it took a few weeks to get through it. It had all these multiple DVDs because we ended up buying it too. Whereas with a regular typical 2-hour movie, you can't really build the characterization of people, whereas this had a whole bunch of hours, and they were able to build the characterization of Abigail, the wife of John Adams, the second president of the United States, and revealed that she was equally responsible for the foundation of this country, which is amazing. Now, one thing in that series, when they the signing of the Declaration of Independence, I forget exactly. I should watch it again. I know. I bought it and gave it away, and bought another one, and gave it away. But anyway, now I guess you don't need to buy DVDs anymore, so I don't know where it is. But I remember, tears kind of going down my face when they were signing the Declaration. So I don't know. It was just crazy. I immediately got on a plane. And my wife and I, we flew right up to Philadelphia, where you're from.
Yes.
And we went, walked. I didn't know you could do it. You walk right into that room, and I secured it. They gave me a private guard, so I was able to go with no public there. And this person was also able to give me. I bought my cassette recorder back then, so I used to do it. And I did a whole recording with this person on. Right in this very room. Where they signed, many of them, it wasn't all signed in that room as we know historically, but where many of them signed the Declaration of Independence. And I tell you, what a thrill that was.
Yes.
That's a great opportunity you had. Yeah. I have been in that room myself. And our Ben Franklin, actually, the background is placed in that room. Yeah. So when you see him zoom in, you'll get to see the background as well.
Yeah.
But Abigail Adams is also one of our characters that speaks.
Did you ever see the series I'm talking about?
I have not, no.
Because I remember in the series, and I believe this is somewhat true, because I've kind of heard about it again. So when she was, I think they were out working in the farm after he'd been the president, and she was slipping over to the other side, and somehow she said, John, I've seen the other side, I'll be there waiting for you, whatever that meant. But she was quite a godly woman and quite a patriot, to say the least.
So. She was the mother of our sixth president.
Yes.
Yes.
John Quincy Adams.
John Quincy Adams. And also they had another son who became an alcoholic and died of alcoholism. And I was thinking today, because I don't know how many people you know in recovery, but if it wasn't for Alcoholics Anonymous, so there'd be literally millions of people dead today. And that was not available. There was no what's the word I'm looking for? The thing that the firefighters put under the window and you jump onto. What do you call that?
I know,
like a trampoline,
net,
like a
catching net.
Yep, yeah, yep, catching net, whatever. Yep. You know, yeah. Safety net.
Safety net. There we
and that didn't exist back then. And I think how terrifying that there was no one to turn to. Yeah. No one understood it was a disease and everything. But anyway, so you've got John, who was the second president. You've got his son, who is the sixth president.
Yes. Yes.
And then you've got the other son and.
Actually, the Adams is a park in Quincy, Massachusetts. For those who visit Boston, you can jump on the mass transit. It's a quick ride down to Quincy. You get off the train, and there's the National Park.
Now, were you brought up in Boston?
A suburb, yeah.
Suburb of Boston?
Yeah, north of Boston.
I mean, what a lovely – when I think of Boston, particularly now, it's such a clean town. Did you know that Mr. Starr, who owns the Majestic Theater here – which is a great theater, if you're looking for a movie theater. Well, he also built some up in Boston.
Oh, no, I don't know him.
Yes, and, you know, yeah. He's friends with Sandy Kovacs and a few other people hanging out here. Yeah. You remember who he is, right?
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah. I live in Palm Bay. I like being in Florida. I've been down here 5 years, but yeah. I do miss Boston for many historical.
You don't miss the gray winters, though.
No, not at all of the traffic. Yeah.
But I second that.
Yeah, but you know, now that they built the underground under the, and they turned that into a park up above.
Yeah.
I mean, it really changes the whole fragrance of the area.
Well, you have mass transportation, which is really, I used to take you could take a commuter train into Boston, that's what I,
yeah.
You could wander around the city. It's easy to walk around.
It is. Take the Freedom Trail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you explain what the Freedom Trail is?
Well, it's a trail in Boston that's marked on the sidewalk. So you just follow the yellow brick road or the red brick road, and it takes you to things like Faneuil Hall and Quincy Market and things like that. It's really an interesting place.
And they have people dressed up.
Yeah.
Here, and they have the whole outfit, you know?
Yeah. And Boston's a walking city. You can basically.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
And we went to Paul Revere's door.
Oh, yes.
His actual house is still there.
It's in the North End, so you can stop and have some great Italian food in the North End.
The British are coming. The British are coming.
Yeah. I'll tell you a funny. I did the trail, but in the wintertime. Don't know what I was thinking. Wrong idea. I will go back and do it in the summertime.
You should go back.
Winter is not a good time to. Well, I used to walk. As long as it's not icy, I didn't.
Of course, there's another.
It was snowing, so it was quite cold.
I've been
cold.
Back a number. Well, I told you that I got inducted into Transcendental Meditation when I was 16 there. And we used to hang out in Boston back in the 60s. But of course, there is Fenway.
Yes.
And the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And I guess, I think for some weird reason, the Red Sox are probably my number one, although my number one should be the Rays. And I do go to those games over there on the other side of Florida.
Yeah.
But there's something about going to Fenway.
Yeah. I think everybody remembers the first time they walk up the ramp and then they see the big green wall.
Yeah, and the green monster.
In the grass.
Yeah. There's nothing like Fenway. And that they adopted that song by Neil Diamond. Sweet Caroline.
That's where it came from. I love that song.
Yeah, that had been a big hit song back in my day. And then that, for some reason, I don't know who revived it. And it became the song for the Boston.
Well, it's tied into the Kennedys.
Boston Strong.
Yeah.
Oh, he was tied into the Kennedys.
Oh, Caroline.
Sweet. Oh, that's right. It's written about Caroline Kennedy. Well, you really
Thank
are up
you.
On things.
Yes, I didn't know that.
I'm impressed. Well, you know, he is former CIA.
Exactly.
You know? So what do you know about me? What do you know that you can't tell us or you'd have to shoot us?
Well, that's to be designated.
Do you know the former director of operations is here? I forget his name. He used to come on the show, sit right where you're sitting. Dick. Dick, what's Dick's last name? He still lives here over on the beach.
Don't know.
From a deputy director of the CIA.
No, I don't.
There's a lot of you CIA people around here.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know it's good. They get good retirement, and they come to Vero Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
Shh, don't tell anybody, though.
And I'm the president of an organization called the Association of Former Intelligence Officers.
Really?
And we have a Cape Canaveral chapter, Space Coast.
Yeah.
And we meet once a quarter, and we really have some good guest speakers, CIA, military, that talk on issues of security. We meet up at the Doubletree Hotel in the Atlantic.
Melbourne. Sure.
Yeah. So we have some. So I still keep my fingers in with some of the spook world.
Now, there are still things that you're sworn not to speak about for like 50 years or something.
Well, they
right?
say a lifetime, but supposedly you're supposed to get clearance. I've been out now for over 50 years. So
you have? You've been out for 50 years?
I was only in it for 4 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't make a career.
Oh, you didn't make a career, but still thanks for serving them. Yeah. Wow,
it was interesting. I did an interesting tour, so. But I ended up coming back and starting my own business, working for international companies and stuff like that.
Oh, so. What did you do?
Well, I worked in marketing for an international paper company in New Hampshire, and then I started my own distribution business. Grew to about $5 million. Things started to change. I sold it. And
distributing paper or?
Paper and supplies and things like that, yeah, to printers, to offices, that
really?
Type of stuff. But as the world changed, as you know, paper companies changed, staples came, those things changed. So, and the printing industry changed with the computer printers. So I ended up selling the business and didn't dibble and dabble, and then my daughter moved down here to work for GE, and so we said, I think time for us to move.
GE used to be big in Schenectady. By the way, you know we put out a magazine called Vero's Voice, right?
Yes.
And I forgot this is another benefit. if you came back here, was that you get a quarter page ad. Each person who has a special show here gets a quarter page ad in each issue, and it comes out 12 times a year. That's a little added bonus.
It is.
And that unto itself is normally $500 for a quarter page ad. But anyway, so let's see what else. I know you guys had a lot on your agenda. Now, by the way, in case you've just tuned in, we're talking with Joy
Vatrebek.
And what is that, by the way?
That's Czechoslovakian. I married into this.
Yeah.
It's actually easier than my maiden name, which is Isley.
That's a pretty famous name.
It's actually E-I-S-E-L-E, so it gets very mixed up.
Now, she's a graduate of the University of Central Florida with a BA in International Relations. You're in charge of marketing, and your title of the American Security Council Foundation, again, is?
Director of Operations.
Director of Operations. So what falls under that umbrella?
Well, I wear numerous hats, let's put it that way.
She does.
So I was doing analyst work, as our senior analyst does now. And then he got me involved, that's Larry here, got me involved with doing communications, which involved hosting podcasts. So that's how we got into the podcast, and we continue on the podcast. So I still host the podcast, the Peace Through Strength podcast.
Great.
Larry and I generally talk once a week on that, and we have special guests come on.
And what else do you do? What else does the Security Council do?
So the Security Council, the main mission of the Security Council is to bring public awareness to national security, economic security, and moral leadership.
Okay, how are you doing that?
We are doing that through the articles that Larry writes. We have a senior fellow, Alan Dowd, writes for us as well.
And where do those articles appear?
They appear on our website. They also go out on our social media. We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. YouTube and Rumble, we do a lot of our podcasts on there.
Isn't it crazy, all these formats?
Keeping up with that is enough for my job right there.
I write a paper roughly once a week, and one of our favorite distribution methods is through the Conservative HQ, and the editor, George Raisley, lives here in Vero Beach, so we're friends with him.
Would you send some samples of that?
Sure.
Yeah, because if we ever did do the thing again, that might be a better thing to put a full-page article in every issue instead of an advertiser.
I will add you to the list.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
And he's going to talk about his articles here shortly, but we also use Substack. So Substack is a place for writers, really primarily, that they put a lot of their articles and podcasts up there. So we put both Larry's articles and Alan Dowd's articles. We can put our podcasts up there as well. So if you become a member of the American Security Council Foundation, we include a Substack paid membership in that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So what does it cost to become a member?
$100 a year, so it's less than $10 a month.
Oh, my. And you're helping preserve, hopefully,
America?
Yeah. We need it today.
Yes, we do.
We have an outreach program to congressional leaders and other leaders saying this is our position. More normally, though, is when they take a position, for example, Gallagher, Representative Gallagher from Wisconsin on the China issue. So we sent him a letter with our position paper saying, keep the good work up going and keep the good work going. And here's what we say about the subject. So we don't ever get a response so far, but we hope that there's somebody that reads it once in a while that perhaps helps the cause.
Yeah, well, I guess I don't want to. So you're partisan?
Nonpartisan.
We're nonpartisan.
You are nonpartisan.
We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan, 501c3.
Okay.
And we don't get involved in domestic politics.
You don't?
No.
Just issues?
Issues, correct.
But that must be, some people are conflicted about some.
Sometimes it gets a little blurry. The difference is.
Yeah.
So, for example, immigration is an issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this country was found. I'm Irish, so my great-grandparents or whoever knows might have been slaves to pay back anyway, indentured, whatever it is.
My mother's side of the family, potato famine Irish, and they can never have forgiven the English for what they did back then.
But the country's made up of immigrants, so it's not that I don't want immigrants coming here. Right. It's just that I want you to come here legally. Whatever happened to the word illegal? You can justify it to a degree because you're getting people in to do work that the young Americans don't want to do now.
Yeah.
We absolutely agree with you. And Larry wrote a paper just called Illegal Immigration recently that talks to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit, well, I was up at, what's that new business there where they sell, I go there for the little hamburgers, but you go to golf too, Big Shots. And there was a young lady waiting on us. Young to me is like 40-ish, you know. But anyway, so, never thought that day would come, huh? I remember, well, an old 40-year-old woman was like, whoa, an older woman. I'm dating an older woman. Anyway, so 40 years. But anyway, she just moved here from New York City because she said, I cannot walk the streets alone. I can't take the subway. It's unsafe. You know about the Roosevelt Hotel. There's 1,200 rooms. We're paying 71. Is it 71 million a month? I think it is. It's like $1 billion a year. Yeah, for the rooms. And you know, they've got all these people, and some of them are beating up cops and stuff. And it's like we've let in all these deplorables. It's the same thing that Castro did, though. Remember when Carter was president, and they let all the people out of the mental hospitals in Cuba. Yeah. And out of the prisons.
Yeah.
And they're sending them over here. Yeah. Well, and then on top of that, we got Chinese coming here.
Yes.
And some of them, one actually admitted that he's being paid to be here and get waiting for the next orders. So subversion coming in like this, and then they're here.
And then now our next concern is going to be Haiti.
Haiti. I've been to Haiti a couple of times. That's, it's very, I went there for on missionary trips to feed the hungry. And twice, and so I got very close to the Haitian people. I'm white on the exterior. I'm white. I actually am a percentage African American, believe it or not. But I'm white. But when you're a blanc, they call it a blanc, and right now it would be highly dangerous to show your face around Port-au-Prince or Haiti because of what's going on there. Mm-hmm. And you're right. What do you think is going to happen here? They're going to start exporting the Haitians to here. And what is there a danger in that? Or
I think just a matter of them trying to get here. I don't know if you read the papers, but just I think it was last week there was 24 of them coming through the Sebastian Inlet they found.
No.
Yes.
But now, is that considered illegal or legal?
As far as I know,
they're
probably
refugees.
Yes, refugees.
So they get to stay.
So there is the question of could they get asylum?
Yeah, I can tell you now.
But the situation going on down there, it would sound.
Well, there's a bounce, you know, because we know during World War II, at the beginning of World War II, a bunch of Jews from Germany got on a big ship, and they came to other southern islands, South America. They were turned down. They even came to New York Harbor, and they were turned down, and most of those Jews were killed. They went back, and they were killed in Germany. Horrible.
And a terrible stain on Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah, because this is a guy, I mean, he should have, I don't know. I don't know why he didn't. Because there's a lot about him that I like.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I'm a conservative, he's like one of my favorite Democrats of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine today if somebody came along, we didn't have Social Security? I know me. You know, I'm a big mouth. I would go, that's communism, socialism. We don't want that. Let people fend for themselves or something. I got to tell you something. I'm really glad we have Social Security, particularly since I'm 70 years of age.
Yeah.
And waited till I was 69 to start it. But I also know in the past, many older people, my parents and people I know, I tell you what, Social Security is a great thing we have, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So if you hate Democrats, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
I hope it's there when I get to that age.
Yeah, really, you know. It will be. Oh, it will be. Don't you think so?
Time flies.
Now, the boss here said you were going to bring up something else about what you do. A few minutes ago, you said he was going to talk about something.
Yes. So you said in the beginning about, I said we started in 1958 to fight against communism here in the United States. That really hasn't changed too much with our mission and with what Larry specifically is doing in addressing China. And I won't say the Chinese people, but the Chinese Communist Party. So, Larry, if you want to talk to that.
Sure. My main mission is China. And as Joy said, it's the Chinese Communist Party, CCP. I lived in Hong Kong for a couple of years. And I love the Chinese people. I had a wonderful experience living in Hong Kong, traveled all over Asia. And I've been in 50 countries and 49 states, so I've done a lot of traveling. And people are people. I like people. But ideologies, not so much. And certainly the totalitarian communist Marxist ideology of collectivism goes against my grain of the America. An American.
And what is, can you give us a short, concise version of what is collectivism?
Well, collectivism, the end justifies the means. So if you think that everybody should do certain things, then anyone that disagrees is killed, maimed, outcast. I mean, China, for example, they have terrific controls of technology and police and spying by neighbors, for people who deviate from the correct thinking. So the Falun Gong, have you ever heard of the Falun Gong? That's it was and it still exists, an organization, semi-religious, where it would be spiritual, talking about well-being, loving your neighbor, taking care of things, and exercise. And it got up to millions and millions of Chinese were followers of Falun Gong until the Communist Party realized that it was a threat to their control. And so they started to crack down, and the leader fled to the American shores and now is in New York City, and they publish a newspaper called the Epoch Times.
And they, really?
So they write out, it's one of my favorite newspapers. It comes out weekly.
I need to subscribe to that. I picked that up a couple times at the Rio Coco Cafe here in town.
Yeah. And but that the collectivism, Stalin killed 30 or 40 million people. He killed millions of Ukrainians with starvation.
Actually, it was about 70.
Or 100.
I could be mistaken.
It could be 100. Who the heck knows? And the Chinese, the CCP, depending upon how you count, 400 or 500 million when you have the birth control
thing. Well, that's what's so scary about what's going on in America today, with people wanting to muzzle people. And it's my way or no way. I mean, yeah, there's a group of people, they could care less even if we don't have an election.
Right.
We know what's best for you. It's total, for me, I believe it's demonic, devilish arrogance. They actually believe, look, I know what's best for you. I'm smarter than you. I feel more than you.
Precisely.
And they actually somehow are deluded into thinking they are better, they think better, they know better. And you should do what I want you to do.
And that's why they crack down on religion, because one, it's an alternative source of power. And two, Christianity is individualism. Yeah. Everybody is welcome before God.
And these dummies don't want you coming on campuses to bring up your ideas to maybe counter and talk. They don't want it. They think they know it all. It's dark, devilish arrogance.
Yes. And Christianity offers an alternative.
Yeah.
That you as an individual are important as opposed to the collective, where you're important to the state versus the individual.
And even in Christianity, we have to beware, because men like to start tribes.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we have the different sects.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was the religious people that killed Jesus. Jesus didn't come to establish a religion, but a relationship with God. And the first thing he said, if you say you love the Father whom you've not seen and don't love the brother whom you have seen, you're a liar, no truth dwelleth in you. So he's checking us out to see, you know, that's real religion, to take in what the stranger, to take help the orphan and visit the widow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
So Joy and I do podcasts, but I write papers, as I said, once a week, mostly on China, but I write issues of, like, immigration.
And what did you do that you said you traveled to 49 different nations?
Well, between the Navy. I was homeported in the Navy in Japan. So
How long were you in the Navy?
4 years. And 4 years with the CIA.
Yeah.
And then I was in an international company for 7 years. And I used to go to Europe every two or three months. So I traveled to Australia, to all over Europe.
And would you stay there for more than a week or two? Or
in those days, the company had a policy of 2 week minimum. So I'd go for 2 weeks.
Oh, my word. You really got your thumb on the pulse of the people.
It was only near the end that I got smart that in those days, this is back in the 70s, I got smart that you could travel almost anywhere. Once you got to Europe, you could travel around. It wouldn't cost the company any money. So I'd fly up to Scotland and start playing golf. So I played St. Andrews and Turnberry and things. But that was near the end. I get sick and tired of going to the churches and the cathedrals on the weekends. So I said, it's time to move on.
But when you're married, did your wife go with you? Or?
No, my wife still with me, 56 years. I don't know why. She's very smart.
She stayed here while you were traveling?
Yeah, she. And
well, that's probably why you've been married for 50 years.
She
got away from absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Well, she never quite forgave me that I was in Paris during the blizzard of 77 or 78. And so she was with a 4-month-year-old girl. I was overseas in Boston, shut down for a week. The whole week.
That's got to be scary.
It was scary. But the neighbors.
That was what year was that?
77, 78, something like it was
I
in February.
I vaguely remember that,
So she never quite forgave me that for that particular travel. But she's an independent gal. She does her own thing. She's worked for major corporations. She's still active, and she does taxes. She likes doing numbers. Don't ask me why. And I have an MBA in finance. I did that a little bit, and I realized I didn't want to do it the rest of my life. But she's done it. So I have concentrated on China because when I was with the CIA, I was on the Taiwan desk, and then I was overseas in Hong Kong. And so China's always interested me. It was fascinating. And when I was in the Navy, I loved Asia. I loved being homeported in Japan. I used to wander around Japan, and we went all over Asia in the different ports, Korea, Philippines, and Malaysia.
My grandfather used to build roads in the Philippines and Greenland and stuff, and he said he lived in New York City, 234 East 50th, and he said, mankind is generally friendly except for politicians and organized religions. And, you know, he's really right. I mean, have you taken any cruises or anything or been around the world? And I meet Muslims.
Yeah.
Friendly as can be. I mean, all kinds of people.
It's the ideologies that...
The two things they tell you not to talk about, religion and politics, right? But I like to talk about.
Yeah, me too, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we need to... I'm working on something right now that I'm writing on dignity. And I think we need to get back to it. We've lost our humanity in that you and I, even if we have a conflict, let's say, with our beliefs, whether it's spiritual or political, above that should still be a dignity to one another. You know, as Paul said, esteem others greater than self. I'm learning this later on in life, but I mean, really, I'm supposed to be the servant of you two ultimately here above self. Now, I'm not saying I always do that, but I'm supposed to do that. Do you find as an old, now you've got 12 years on me. Okay, so I want to ask you this. I found out in the past, just a couple of years, that my whole, everything that I've held in esteem has totally switched. It's inverted, you know? Instead of wanting to get, it's wanting to give, you know? The ambitions, I don't know if it's a lack of testosterone, but certain ambitions have gone by the side. And I want to do things that maybe have eternal ramifications as opposed to ramifications, you know. I don't have to have another steak on my plate. I've eaten, like you, I've traveled the world and eaten a lot of things. I've lived in luxury comparatively to the rest of the world. I mean, there's a lot of people that are a lot wealthier than me. But in America, if you're washing dishes at McDonald's,
you're better off.
You're living better than the king or queen of England lived 100 years ago ever. Yeah. I wonder what percentage of people woke up this morning with dirt floors. I remember when I went to Haiti, all the people with their little shacks or huts made of sugar cane. I mean, you walk inside, there's nothing in there. It just protects them a little bit from the rain, and they usually have a little thing that's made of sugar cane to lay on the floor. No blankets, no nothing, and dirt.
Yeah.
And the world, you know.
And insects.
Yeah, well, they're not too bad with the insects. When I got there, I was really frightened of the of snakes and stuff. Yeah. And they said, "Oh, don't worry, they've all been eaten." Because they're hungry people. That's why I was there to go out with the trucks. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in Haiti. We need to pray for Haiti.
Yes, we do.
Because they're a good people. Comment se voit? That's how are you? Let's say très bien. Let's see, what do you say? Jésus remi ou, which is Jesus loves you. Jésus remi moi, Jesus loves me. And we pray for peace there. Jeez, we got to pray for peace in Ukraine. We got to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We got to pray, you know.
Everywhere.
So, so now the American Security Council Foundation is an advocacy group trying to keep America be the salt.
We want to educate people. Yes. Our mission is to educate Americans. And so, again, getting back to our position papers, our podcast. We hold seminars, events to educate Americans on issues. And my main issue is educating America on the issue of the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, has declared war on America. They're waging unrestricted warfare against the United States. And we have to be aware that everything they're doing is basically to weaken us internally so that they can dominate the world without firing a shot.
Now, what about TikTok?
TikTok is a classic example of their cyber warfare programs of subverting American culture.
I mean, for all these senators and congressmen to be coming against, they must know something I don't know.
Well, TikTok drives people down rabbit holes, so it's anti-American. It generates class warfare, race warfare.
Does it?
Through the logarithms. So if the articles that they print predominantly favor the Palestinians versus the Israelis. They predominantly favor class warfare in America, the crime. They highlight the crime, and one logarithm leads to another so that people, and you know that the younger generation is not very patriotic, not at all. No. And the logarithms of TikTok.
They lose the freedoms here. They're going to want it back.
Yeah, and so the issue about TikTok takes the data. Well, so doesn't Facebook and Google. So to me, that's not the issue. Freedom of speech, that is an issue. But national security is even a bigger issue. Yeah. And to have an organization, the CCP, controlling the logarithms of a media outlet, social media outlet that 170 million Americans use, I think endangers the national security. India banned TikTok a few years ago for the same reason.
Really?
Yeah.
So they don't sell out, they're going to be banned here.
Which leads to reciprocity. China does not allow Facebook and Google in China, so why should we allow them in America?
The only problem is now you've got, I'm seeing all these people being interviewed. And they're making, an eight-figure income, which is over $1 million a year, right?
Yeah.
And the families are doing this. I'll put this out of one guy said, I sell clothing. All my clients come from TikTok. Now, here's do you do TikTok at all?
I don't.
Okay. I posted on TikTok this morning of a recent painting. I do artwork. But I guess all I do is I go on, I post it hoping some people will see it, and maybe I'll get 300-400 people that see it, and I get some comments. And that's all I do. I don't travel around and go anywhere. So I don't know what all the fuss is about because maybe I need to spend more time on it to find out what exactly is good. I don't know how people make money off of it. Maybe I need to get a young person to show me,
We hear that a lot. And we hear, I'm just posting my dance on there or my, something
sing a
simple.
Song. Yeah.
Right. What I'm eating for the day. We hear that a lot. But what Larry's saying is the algorithms behind it and that the mother company is controlled in China by ByteDance.
By who?
ByteDance is the mother company in China.
And China doesn't allow TikTok in China.
No, they don't.
They have their own separate organizations, and I assure you, they do not publish or print anything about
it. Have you done an article on that yet?
Yes, several.
Okay, maybe you could send some my way.
Sure.
Okay, we'll exchange addresses. By the way, in case somebody wants to get in touch with either of you at the American Security Council Foundation, how would they do that?
You can go to our website, www.ascf.us, as in United States. You can also email us at info@ascf.us.
And also, they want to get on your mailing list. You said you give seminars, you have meetings, you have the special event coming up. Let people know about that. Now, do you do those just in Florida, or are they around the country?
Right now, it's in Florida.
Just in Florida.
We are hoping to expand one day outside.
We have Washington, D.C.,
yes.
Are they doing what you guys are doing there?
No.
Not currently.
What do they do?
Basically, it's a virtual office.
Okay. Trying to reach our
It was an operational side during the Peace Through Strength Coalition, so we kept the virtual office there.
Okay.
The operations is here. And if you want to get we really suggest you get on our newsletter. If you go to our front page of our website, www.ascf.us, you can sign up for the newsletter, and you'll see about all the events coming out, articles and podcasts we have.
Wonderful. Now, the event coming up again, that's coming up Tuesday. Tell us all about that.
This Tuesday is it's going to be free lunch, like I said, free light lunch, book signing, and meet and greet with bestselling author Jenny Cote. And this is sponsored by the American History Live program.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to have an opportunity to see our Benjamin Franklin zoom in and how the program works and answer some fun trivia questions.
And where does this take place?
This is at the Courthouse Executive Center, the old courthouse downtown,
Florida.
14th Avenue downtown.
Now, this will also go on my podcast, right, Noah? Which means before you run over there, make sure you check the dates because you might be listening to the show to learn about the American Security Council a year from now, which is on my podcast. This may have already taken place, so understand, right, that these dates might be off a little bit. But right now, what's today's date? I forget.
The 15th?
Of
March.
March. And this is March 19th is the event.
2024.
So if you sign up for our newsletter.
It's 2024. In the year 2525. Do you remember that song?
No, I don't.
You do?
I do.
Kids. She's just a kid.
She's just a kid, I know.
But yeah, the generational thing becomes very evident, doesn't it?
It's always been that way.
You know what I find scary now? Even though I'm doing okay, financially, it's like, I'm not, $14 for a hamburger? I went to one of these hamburgers, the Five Guys or something recently.
Yeah.
I had a friend. We both had cheeseburgers. I bought the dinner that night. Two cheeseburgers, one small fry. He got a Coke. I got water. $40
yeah.
for two cheeseburgers?
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, The restaurant businesses are being, you know, they were paying $24 for a box of chicken wings a year ago, and now they're up to $95. You know, this is what that's what the restaurants are paying.
Yeah.
And so it's outrageous. So they're charging a little more. It was this warning on the internet. I said, please understand, we have to raise the prices just to stay, be able to pay the rent and stay open.
Yeah.
So
I might be younger, but I'm appalled as well.
Oh, you are?
Oh, that prices for that?
I mean, I walk out of
for
the grocery store.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the other day I was going to go, and there's another place in town I was going to buy a burger. Well, anyway, so that $40, I could actually make at least 20. If I went to Publix and bought a ground round, which is what I like, I could make 25 or 26 hamburgers and freeze them in the freezer. 25 hamburgers for what I got for two cheeseburgers.
Oh, yeah, well, you got the labor and you got the insurance costs in Florida going right up through the roof. Yeah. Insurance and labor.
Yeah. And then now you've got the insurance where. I don't know if it's because DeSantis is in bed with the insurance companies, but now when you, to a certain degree, even when we have a hurricane, I was just told yesterday by a guy who does this for a living, if you have a hurricane, even you will be personally responsible for replacing your, what do you call this, wallboard here? Uh-huh. Your spackle and, you know. That's I said, well, then why do we have insurance?
Right.
Yeah.
But
wow.
The reason they're having to do this is to get other insurance companies to come here. With the allure of making a greater profit, I mean, you're still going to pay the same price, and you're not going to get any. You're not really getting insurance. It's just that the banks demand you have. You know, it's for the certain basics.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know,
they're all in there to make money, but you know, insurance companies have been hammered with national disasters.
Yeah, I can understand
the lawsuits.
They are, but now we're getting hammered,
and now we're getting hammered. So
yeah, well,
everybody's
you know, hammered. Yeah. I mean, this past year, my insurance was doubled.
Mm-hmm.
My house.
Yeah.
And some other people.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. So is there anything that we have left unsaid that you want to, any subject you want to broach or talk about today before we say goodbye?
I think we'd like to invite, for future events, we're going to start a coffee chat. We're fiddling with the time and date yet, but I think the beginning of May, on a Friday, we're going to start some coffee chats once a month. And
does that
just
mean
have
physically
small,
gathering together?
Yes, physically gathering together in our operations office in Sebastian and have a small group, maybe 10 to 15 people, and just discuss issues like the border issue, immigration,
TCP, TikTok. This is why I wish I had a little bit bigger space here because you could have it here, you know. We need to do more of that. And, you know, and you say 15 people, and people might, you know, say, oh, what's that going to do? Let me tell you something. Find – I know maybe you can't do it that quick. Noah, how many people – got into office because of one vote. Like, you know, Hitler got into the inner circle by one vote. They voted to make English was our language instead of German by one vote. I mean, there's a whole historical thing about one vote. So my point to make is this, that everybody is leaving a footprint. You believe it or not, even like with my little regional broadcast, we're leaving a footprint. You're leaving a footprint. You're leaving a footprint. We do make all good men need do to see evil prevail. Is nothing.
Yeah, one of my favorite expressions is better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Love it. Mm. Better to light light one candle and curse the darkness. Yeah, that's
and like
good.
You said, 15 people seem small, but we want real discussion going back and forth. And then those people can go out and tell their friends. And maybe next month we have a different group of people. So.
And I would add that if to anybody that listens to Joy and I today, that and you have expertise on national security issues, please contact us. We'd be more than happy to do a podcast with you or to write about you or invite you to our studio. So
wonderful. Okay. Well, great. Do you want to give out the address?
Yes, it's 1515 U.S. Highway 1, Sebastian. We're in Suite 103.
Okay, and the website?
www.ascf.
ASCF, that's American Security Council
Foundation. .us, as in United States.
All right. Well, thanks for coming down today, and thanks for being patriots, and God bless America.
Yeah, thanks for
having
us.
Thank you for having us. Yes. Right. God
come
bless
back
you.
Soon. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, this is the Mayor of the Airwaves. Who loves you, baby?